You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Taking Stages and Leaving Legacies by Mentoring. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Chandler, and you're listening to Your Program is Your Ticket, a discussion of smaller theater works and the people and organizations that make it happen. My guest today is Diane McKenzie, Board President for the River Cities Community Theater Players and Company Director of Ghostlight Children's Theater, both located in Bullhead City, Arizona. The River Cities Community Theater Players is a group of dedicated theater actors, stage staff, and behind-the-scenes helpers who love bringing live theater to their community. Ghostlight Children's Theater is a part of River Cities Community Theater Players, providing arts outlets for all children who wish to participate. Diane is part of my Theater is for Everyone series, where I'm interviewing theater artists outside of the major locales and influences to give them a chance to be heard, discuss their work selection and production processes while touching on their triumphs, challenges, and misconceptions. Please keep in mind that our interviews are recorded at different times to optimize schedules, just in case the audio sounds different. I'm super excited, so let's bring her on.
Hi, Diane, and welcome to Your Program is Your Ticket.
Hi, it's so nice to be here with you today.
It's my pleasure. Gosh, thank you so, so much for agreeing to do this. I think that I love the two organizations that you are involved in and that you lead. I think it's great. The many facets and ages of people that you work with. And I love your emphasis on kids, on, you know, younger actors and artists. I just think it's absolutely amazing. And I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I hope that people enjoy hearing some of the crazy things that we're doing out here in Arizona.
They definitely do. And I will as well. So now, before we get into your interview, I just was hoping that it would be okay with you if I did a dedication on your show of a past guest on your program is Your Ticket. Are you cool with that?
I am absolutely okay with that.
Okay, great. Unfortunately, a short time ago, a guest that I had on the show in my Act Two Places series, which is when I brought artists on to interview them about how they dealt with the COVID-19 shutdown and how they were reemerging from it. I brought a very, very talented, ambitious, very, very well-known artist who had her own theater company called The Seeing Place onto the show. Her name is Erin Kronikan, and she's just such a lovely person, and sadly she passed from cancer. The fact that Erin, when she came on that show, did not look, I mean, I don't know, honestly, I know this is probably not PC to say, but I don't know what a cancer patient looks like. So I certainly saw no dip in energy. She did, I believe, make mention of the fact that she was sick, but she continued to run the Seeing Place theater in New York City up until the very end, including doing her dream role, which was playing the lead in the play Wit. Erin, we miss you. We love you. You'll always be a wonderful part of Your Program is Your Ticket family. And I'm happy to dedicate this episode to you. Okay, there we go. Thank you so much, Diane, for allowing me to do that. That was really sweet of you.
No, I am honored to be part of something, even in the smallest part, that has a connection to somebody that seemed to be so wonderful as her. So
yeah, she was great. Okay, let's start by having you introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us about your roles with River City Community Theater Players and Ghostlight Children's Theater and how they intersect with each other.
Absolutely. Well, my name is Diane McKenzie, in case you didn't hear that at the beginning. And I've been with River City's Community Theater Players for about 6 years, five of which I have been the board president. Actually in the early spring of 2019, the remaining board members came and said, we really feel like we need to expand and do something with the kids. And they said, would you be willing to take on that new direction? And because I had done the drama club back in Ohio before I moved to Arizona at our local high school. And I had been in community theater and directed and different things. So I was like, absolutely. One of the biggest, hardest things I had to leave in Ohio was my theater kids. So I was happy to get back into that. So I jumped right in, and we have been working together and performing with the exception of COVID shutdown since the summer of 2019. We start with a camp, and I have a couple of great subordinates that help me with Ghostlight, but I am kind of a one-woman show at this point. The agreement with the adult side of the theater was that I really wanted to be able to build this as we went without a lot of being slowed down. You know, when you have a board and you meet once a month and you have to take things to the board and you vote and things kind of get talked about. And, you know, sometimes it takes us 2 or 3 months to do something. And I wasn't willing to sit back for 2 or 3 months. And they said, yes, absolutely. We'll let you take off. And I have been running ever since. So we do a full season in coordination with the, we call it RCCTP for short, but that's such a mouthful. I just say River Cities. So with River Cities, we work with them. And so I spend a lot of time trying to organize and coordinate and make the River City side better and work better and get better recognition. We're very different functioning entities. But like I said, my passion, I love all of it, but my big passion and where I spend most of my time is with the children's theater.
Excellent. Where in Ohio did you move from?
I was actually in a tiny little town outside of Columbus, about 45 minutes west of Columbus, called West Liberty, Ohio. Uh-huh. My kids went to school there, and I helped for several years with the choir director on the musicals. And the kids came to me 1 year and said, we don't all sing, but some of us really want to do this. And they didn't have a drama program. And so I went to the principal, and then he went to the board, and they said, yep, you can start drama club. We don't have any money for you. We don't have a stipend to pay you, but sure, go ahead. And we managed to do our first production, 12 kids, $400. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, $400, because we ended up getting a small grant from one of the script companies, one of the licensing companies, and that paid for our scripts. And we did everything else just by pulling stuff out of people's houses. But it was a great little show. And within 3 years, I'd grown from 12 to 40.
Oh, that's so amazing. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was heartbreaking to leave. I had some life changes, and the West was calling, and came out here, and didn't even know there was a community theater when I got here. So being able to jump back in and be with the kids, it was just like light turning on again. Yeah.
Wow. Now, they approached you to create the children's program, correct?
Yes. And partially because they knew that I had run a program back in Ohio.
Right.
And, you know, I was in the process of building that program when I left. We were only 3 years in when I ended up needing to make a change. Mm-hmm. And passed it off. And they now have a drama teacher. It's part of the curriculum at school. So, but I didn't get to really get my hands in that. So coming out here, I actually started performing with River Cities. Then I started directing, which is my passion. I love to direct. I can act, but I prefer to be on the other side of the stage.
Yeah.
And I acted to get my foot in the door, but they allowed me to start directing. And then that's when they said, you know, we really need to broaden ourselves. And we all know that kids are a big draw. They always are. I mean,
they are.
Yeah. Lots of parents and grandparents and friends and neighbors. And so when you have a children's program, it helps build your adult program. And that was something that we were looking for and hoping for, because I don't know how much research you did on Bullhead City, where I'm at, but it is one of the best places to retire in the country. So we have a young population with lots of kids, and then we've got a very small middle age, and then we've got a huge retiree population. So the adult side, the average age of our performer is probably 65.
Wow.
Yeah, which is difficult at best. You know, when you're trying to do a show where you're supposed to have a 22-year-old girl, you know, as one of the characters, it's a little hard to find that when you don't have that connection. So I think originally the plan was, let's grow them up into our program and see what happens. And I think that will happen down the road, but we still have this larger break. But the children's theater has done a lot to help draw attention to the adult theater. So it's been great in that respect, because we have parents that are now participating in the adult theater because their kids have been involved in the children's theater. We also have kids that are participating because their parents started participating. So it works both ways, but it's just been a really good catalyst to get our name out there. When I first got here, like I said, I didn't even know there was a theater, a community theater. And to this day, people will walk up to me and they'll go, "We have a community theater?" Yes, we do. They've been here 13 years.
Boy, that community theater knew exactly where to find you. They find you, don't they?
They tend to. They do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have such an incredible board. We just had elections and we have some new board members, and they are focused and full of lots of ideas and have energy. And we're just really starting to spring forward with the adult side. And, which is nice, because I don't feel quite so torn, because I know there are other people that can help carry some of that weight. And I can focus on, you know, where the passion lies. So, which I'm just as passionate about the adults as the kids. It's just, I get a lot more personal satisfaction working with the kids. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, I'm sure. But yeah, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to work with kids in the arts, but the things that you get to experience and see with them are incredible, incredible. I have so many heartwarming stories with these kids.
Well, I'm a writer. I'm a script writer in addition to doing this show. So I don't work directly with a lot of actors. If I do, I'm typically somewhere in the back of the theater at a table. Yeah. And 99% of my work is done. I'm just there for the odd correction or question that actors may have. But I will tell you, on this show, I've had I don't want to say necessarily like young kids, but I've had students on here. Mm-hmm. We were talking about before the show started about Jessica Harris, who was on the show a couple episodes back, who herself is in her early 20s and has created a program for kids. And I have to tell you, one of the things that I love about what you're doing is I think pretty much every theater kid has that one individual that flipped the switch for them. Yeah. I mean, you could probably go back in your head and identify exactly who that is. I know I can.
Oh, me too. Yep.
Tell me, who was that for you?
Alan Featheroff. He was my choir director in high school. He was a huge theater guy. And we stepped, when he became choir director, we stepped away from the old, I hate to say it, tired Rodgers and Hammerstein repetitive over and over again, you know. And I remember my first big show, my senior year, was George M. And it was completely something nobody had ever done. It was fresh. It was new. It was fun. He didn't, his stage direction and his the way he the vision he had was very we did it all in rehearsal clothes. It was great. I got to sing my first solo in that show, and we learned to tap dance for that show. It was just incredible. And I had always been a performing type kid, you know, used to dance for the kid, for the parents when they'd have friends over, or, you know, sing or do whatever. So I was always a little bit of a performer, but I never made that jump to the actual stage until I got to high school, outside of Bible school, you know?
Yeah.
And, you just get the bug. And I thought about theater from that point. And of course, you know, life hits and you're like, okay, am I really going to be able to do this? And I haven't got the dance experience. And, you know, so you talk yourself out of things. And, you know, I went on and did community theater after that, and, you know, made some lifelong friends that still, you know, he recently passed away. But he, you know, he was just this amazing, amazing man that just woke all of that up for me, and he let me finally feel like I was good enough to do it. And that, I think, is one of the big keys. You know, most of these kids aren't going to go on and be performing on Broadway. We know that. But if I can turn something on inside of them that gives them that confidence and that strength to get up there and try something new and step outside themselves for a minute, that's worth it. If they do one show and they get that little taste of it and it changes them moving forward in their life, that's worth it.
Even if you turn them into fans of the theater, you know, they're even if you excite them about going to a place like New York or London or Chicago or somewhere where they sort of like sprout out, if you will, and they start seeing theater in all different kinds of places. I mean, there are so many theater fans out there, people who just love it. I mean, sometimes I think like I get so excited about it, and then I know many, many people who have no intention of being up on the stage. They're like watching it.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, there's many ways that you can, that you can inspire them. I mean, maybe inspire them to like Shakespeare or opera or ballet or something like that. Exactly. So, which is not, by the way, I'm not a big Shakespeare opera ballet fan myself. But I make myself see one Shakespeare play, one opera, and one ballet every year, just to say I did.
Just to say you did. Just to say yes. I'm hitting all the boxes. I'm checking them all off.
I know. Well, I always tell people like those types of shows are like, you have to it teaches you to pay attention to the big beats of the show as they're happening. Maybe you don't understand what they're saying or what they're dancing about or whatever, but it does teach you that kind of understanding of the interpretation. So
yeah,
anyway, for sure. I digress. Have you, I'm sure you've heard of it, but are you familiar with Canton, Ohio?
Canton? Yeah.
Canton Akron? Okay.
Yeah, Canton Akron. That's where the Football Hall of Fame is.
It's yes. my husband David's family is from there.
Oh, and, how nice.
Yeah, and then closer there is a city called Chagrin Falls.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I've interviewed many people from Chagrin Falls. I did an interview at one of their school's new, like it's like a big performing arts center that's with a rehearsal hall that my entire one bedroom apartment in New York can fit inside of.
Oh, I'm sure.
But Ohio is a huge, huge development for the arts type a location. I mean, they are serious. I mean, these people are just. And and I think it's wonderful. I think it's just so awesome. I've had teachers and administrators. And so I can see there are other people that I've interviewed who have that exact same spark in their eye that I'm seeing you have right there. And they've developed you now into this. It's so great. I mean, that is just so wonderful. Okay, let's have you tell us your mission or overall goal for each one of your theater companies to see how they relate to each other and how they're maybe a tad different from each other?
Absolutely. You know, River City's main goal, our mission statement actually states, and I'm paraphrasing, to provide quality entertainment and to continue to support and present the arts to those that maybe don't have experience with them. You know, their goal and their mission, although that's Ghost Light's mission as well. Like I said, Ghost Light's mission also is very much about what the kids get from it. And our goal is to make sure that these kids have a safe place that they can come, that's a judgment-free zone, where they can step out of themselves and not be afraid to experience new things. We are serious about the things that they learn. We give them as many opportunities as we can to mentor other kids, to have responsibility. They learn what it's like to get constructive criticism, something that is hard to find nowadays. They learn how to be public speakers. They learn what it's like to work in a group and to not have to, you know, and to have to be able to adjust and compromise and move in unison with them. Like I said, just the responsibilities of being on time and being there when you're supposed to. So all of those things that I feel like the children of our world have started to lack in, especially here. When I got to Bullhead, there was a gaping hole for kids in this town. And I think part of it is because of our demographics. Part of it is because socioeconomically, we're not a real high dollar kind of community. So a lot of the kids don't have discretionary funds to do some of these things. But, you know, they get into sports and everybody can play soccer or football or basketball until they hit about junior high. And then from junior high to high school and through high school, they're kind of separated out. You know, you're a good player, you're not. And these kids fall off and they don't have anything and they have nowhere to go and they tend to get in trouble and they spend all their time sitting at home on a video game. And we wanted to try and help fill that void that was blaringly obvious in this community. And we also make sure that the kids understand that this isn't just about being on stage. You know, we try and support their desires to be choreographers, to be set designers, to make costumes, to help in marketing, all those different areas, sound, tech, lights, stage management. So we let them all know that it's not just about acting. And there is something for everyone in the theater. And that's why everyone's included. And like I said, we talk a lot about respect with my kids, because that's also something that I think they've lost. They're learning to communicate, something they've lost. Cell phones, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, it's killing the art of conversation. So they have to communicate with each other. And, you know, it's a big thing that they're getting reacclimated to that. And I'll tell you, after COVID, it's 100 times worse.
Wow, really?
Yeah, these kids need it so bad. They have forgotten what it's like to be around other people. And it's something that, you know, we get them in a room together. And sometimes I have to stop them just from enjoying each other so we can focus on what we're doing. But it's nice to see them making those connections that otherwise I know they're sitting at home not making with anybody.
Right. Wow. You know, like I said, as someone who doesn't have kids, that thought probably wouldn't enter my mind, but hearing you say it, it's like, well, yes, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, you know, think who as grown adults who can handle probably maybe more stress and difficulty than most younger kids do. And we were wigging out big time.
Right. You know, yeah, we were going nuts.
Yeah. And then I think kids need a little, I think they probably need more social time than we do, especially since they're growing into social beings. So that's a really great point to mention. And, and I hope people hear that and appreciate that. I'm sure all the parents that listen to this do and will.
Hopefully. And you know, if they're listening for the first time, get your kids in a program, a theater program somewhere, because you'll be amazed. I mean, like I said, I look at these kids from year to year and see the growth and the change in them. And it's just astounding sometimes.
Wow. Now, for the fans of this podcast who know a little bit about me, I co-hosted a podcast, well, three versions of it before your program as your ticket, called London Calling, with a man named Mace London, who lived in Bullhead City. And our our friend, our friend Mike Means, was the engineer for that podcast. But I came in and did I interviewed him about his autobiography for something like 100 episodes. We did another version, and then we brought someone else in and did a third version. But yeah, I made sure that since I lived in California at the time, that I would drive out and see Ace once in a while. And Bullhead City, I'll be honest with you, it was like Ace's house and then back to the hotel in Laughlin. Staying in. But
it's so nice that you
do that. I know, without judgment to Bullhead City, I will say that was probably a really good idea.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, all cities in this country have problems. And I think that the last several years, be it whatever outside influences have been pushing on us, you know, have struggled more. Yeah. But like I said, it is, you know, so socioeconomically, we do have a lower income, especially with younger families. And it's so important because, you know, there's another town nearby that has a theater program. They do summer camps. They charge, you know, and that's great. I'm glad that they are able to support themselves and in that way. But the first thing we said when we started this was we can't charge.
Yeah.
So we don't. I mean, anybody can come and it doesn't matter whether they can afford it or not. Because we don't want anyone to say, oh, well, you know, I can't afford the $50 a day or the $300 for the camp or whatever. Nope, sorry. Everybody can come. It doesn't cost you a dime. We'll make sure your kids eat, all of those things. So they just get to come and not worry about anything and just experience.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
And that was super, super important to us.
That's great, because you never know who you're, like I said, flipping the switch on for and where they're going to end up. Yeah. You know, you don't know if you're inspiring the next, you know, Audra McDonald. You don't know that. Right. Or, you know, Patti LuPone or, Jonathan Groff. You don't know that. A lot of that is in the power of the arts and how much passion it imbues in that person. So, but at least you're starting it, and you're starting it in a non-judgmental way. And yes. I have to say, I love it when my guests inadvertently say the name of my series, which is, this is the Theater is for Everyone series. and that's exactly what you just said. We understand it's for everyone. And it's
it is.
That's so cool. I appreciate that. I don't know if you did that on purpose.
I did. But we tell people that all the time. You know, it's like a selling point. Theater is for everyone. There's something there for everyone, and there's a place for you. And, you know, you come in and sit down and tell me what it is you like to do, I will find a theater job that fits it.
Right. Exactly.
It's going to happen, you know, and, you know, a lot of times they'll start out wanting to do one thing and then they'll slowly get, you know, enough self-confidence to hop on stage and do something. And others are just happy being in the background and don't want anything to do with that stage. And that's okay.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, you never know. I mean, there are what we see when we go to the theater, maybe we're not necessarily experienced theater people. We just like it, is our actors on a stage, you know, yeah. And there are hundreds of jobs outside of that. And for you to, hopefully you're inspiring also the next set designer or a composer, or like you said, administrator or stage manager or, you know, lighting director, something like that. And that, well, I was just going to say, you flipped that switch on too. And I didn't, I thought, okay, I'm making a really bad pun, but I did that unintentionally, but you know what, it works, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, it's funny because I tell my kids often, here, I've got a couple of prior drama kids that are living their dreams and it's not on stage. Just this summer I did, well, I have one student that went on to become a professional stage manager, who came to me when we first started drama club back in Ohio and said, can I be your stage manager? And I said, sure. And she goes, no, I want to be a real stage manager. And she set up cameras so she could see what was going on stage from the booth. And she called the light cues. I mean, she did it all. And that's what she does now. And, you know, I have another young lady who went to school, wanted to be an actress. And she got there and ended up falling into costuming. And she's doing that now in New York professionally.
Very cool.
So it's like, we talk to these kids about her. It's like, look, you know, she did videos for me for camp. And I'm like, you guys got to meet Hannah. She's incredible. And they're like, oh, what did she do? And I'm like, wait until you see. And they're like, oh my gosh, she doesn't act. I'm like, no, she didn't even know how to sew until she got to college. But that's what she's doing.
Wow.
And that, to me, that is so much more inspiring than somebody who has had the lead from the time they were 7 years old all the way through college, and went off to New York and is getting to play in the chorus and something. You know, I'm way more inspired by that person that found a passion and completely dove into it. And within 4 years is making a living.
Oh yeah. And heavily, heavily respected. Everybody who is backstage, everybody who's in the office, everybody who is running the house, all have mad respect by the actors and the creative teams.
Yeah,
that's something, if you follow a lot of people like on Twitter, a lot of professional actors on Twitter, Instagram, things like that, you'll just hear them say how wonderful, like my dresser is great. I can't live without them, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and major props, and, you know, and there's Tony's for that too. So, right.
That's right. Well, and I always tell them you have to thank me in your first Tony Award acceptance speech. Don't forget my name.
Right. Exactly. You know what? I know my person who flicked the switch for me, and she will definitely be thanked. She knows who she is too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I was looking at the website for Ghostlight, and I see that, I know that you have a summer camp, which I want you to talk about, but you mentioned that there are people who are the younger performers who are involved with that. And it looks like from the website, you have 4 junior camp counselors listed here.
Yes.
And are they the ones who are mentoring the younger kids?
Yeah, actually. So this year we restructured camp just a little bit. So we wanted to give the older kids a little bit more of an intensive experience. So we did 2 weeks for them. And so a lot of my peer counselors, which we'd always had the previous years. We would have the high school age kids come in and be peer counselors for the younger ones. They actually were busy in the 2 week camp because junior camp came in the second week, in coordination with the older kids. But I had several that wanted to come and just work with the younger ones. And they're four great kids. They've all been in productions for me. The one, if you're looking at them, Sierra, she's incredible. She is so involved in everything. I don't know if she knows which direction she's going to go yet. We recently did Schoolhouse Rock Live. I don't know if you remember the old 70s Schoolhouse Rock Saturday morning.
You know, yeah. I do. I'm 57 years old. You know, I can sing them still.
I can too. Every one of them. And that was before we did the show. But she came into that show with me and she stepped up and she choreographed the entire thing. The whole thing is music and dance. And she's not a dancer. So it was incredible. She did an amazing, amazing job. For camp this summer, we had, like I said, senior camp, junior camp. I was focusing on senior camp and I had a wonderful teacher who I worked with at the high school when she was in high school in musicals at the high school. And she was going to run junior camp for me, ended up with COVID. So 2 days before camp, she's like, here are my lesson plans. Go with it. And Sierra came in and she goes, can I direct the juniors play? And I said, yes. And she did beautiful job. She did an amazing job. She just steps right in. She loves every part of it. She drug in props. She made ears. I mean, you know, you name it, she did it. And they all have just been amazing, amazing mentors for these younger kids. But another thing, because I think mentoring is so important, each morning when the junior started coming to camp for an hour, my older kids paired up with the younger ones and we did what we called mentoring minutes, which was whatever activity for that day we had, they did it together. And I had the older kids in charge of working with the younger ones because I want them to learn how important that responsibility is. You know, our tagline or our motto for Ghostlight is take the stage, leave a legacy. Yeah. Okay. Don't you love
keep
it?
Talking because I'm writing that down.
Okay. Yes. Take the stage, leave a legacy. And, you know, we want all of them to be able to go up there and perform and enjoy that and have that wonderful experience. But we also want them to leave something for those that come behind them. And that's what that mentoring process is all about. And I take that very seriously. And, you know, I've been known to pull an older one aside when somebody maybe isn't connecting at a rehearsal or something and saying, hey, you know, let's see what we can do to try and bring this one in. And they'll take extra time with them and work with them and make sure that they're connecting with other kids that maybe they don't know as well. And that's just as important to me as the performance that they put on stage.
Now, I know you're in it. You are in it. And so you've got everything going on, paperwork and plans and all of that.
Yeah.
But are you hearing this incredible build that you have created that builds up to another level and another level? I mean, they found you and then you started this and then you increased the amount of students and then you brought on mentors. And then now you're having the older mentors train the younger kids. And I hope you hear that. And I hope you value that.
I do value that. My concern, I often beat myself up a little bit. I think we all do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I'm not giving them enough quickly enough. But I also know I have to walk before I can run. So every year after camp, I sit down with my adults and we evaluate and we fix things and we make things better. And every year it gets a little bit better and a little more involved and we hit things a little harder or go a different direction. We try and make sure we're covering, you know, all the areas and that nobody's left out. And, you know, we work really hard at that. And, you know, when we perform during the year, that's kind of more like relaxed time. if there is such
that's
a thing
funny. As
performing and relaxed yeah. at the same time, but, you know, cause I basically with the schedule we have, I'm almost in production 12 months out of the year practically.
Oh, yeah,
by the,
of course.
You know, with planning and, you know, producing and auditioning and rehearsing and, you know, and it's a lot. I probably have July and like December off, and that's like it. Otherwise I'm full bore, but, cause I don't have new directors yet. I need to bring up some of the adults that are willing to direct the kids or have some of these kids get old enough to be able to direct the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I can rest a little bit, but you know, I put tons and tons and tons of energy into camp, and I just put tons of energy into performance. So, you know, because I feel like that's the meat and that's where we're cultivating. And yeah. then performance is where they get to come and kind of show what they've learned. But, you know, ultimately I would love to have the opportunity to do more classes. You know, I have a couple of people that I would love to bring in to teach master classes. You know, and they don't have to be big names. They just need to be people that know more than I do. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people in this world that know a lot more than I do. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I feel that I'm a good director, but I feel like every time I do a show, I get a little better too. So we're growing together and getting bigger and managing and all those other outside things that you have to take care of in your world to make it all happen. You know, I need, as my subordinates always tell me, Diane, you are allowed to ask other people to do things.
Well, I mean, it's expands people's minds and what they're learning. I mean, I think any director or writer, they have their own voice, if you will. And it's hard to explain to people who don't really understand it, but it's sort of like their stamp. Like you can see something and know, Joe Mantello directed that. I could probably tell, you know, and you know, like David Mamet wrote that, and it's kind of specific and it's kind of them. And we see a lot of that. So it's nice to bring in other people and see what their voices are like, see what their end product looks like and see what their process is like. And, you know, and how we can learn from them as well. So I think I agree.
Yeah.
With the other directors on the board of directors and all the people that you, that you have to answer to over and over again.
But it's hard to let go. It is. It's hard to let go when you're the one that's always running 80 miles an hour. And they do. They're like, they'll say, you're doing better. You're doing better. You know, I can handle that for you. And I'm like, okay, here. And I passed things off this year. So of course we all laughed. I passed off a whole section of camp and ended up jumping in at the last and having to do it anyway because of COVID. So,
but you know what, you created that, and you're creating the people who you're passing it, who are asking you if they can do it.
Yes.
You didn't just necessarily pass on to that junior camp counselor. You didn't just say, hey, can you do this for me? Didn't she come to you and say, I want to do this.
I want this. Yeah.
Wow. Gee,
I wonder who that sounds like.
Not sure if that's a good example for her or a bad example.
No, it's great. Stop that. By the way, I know exactly how you feel when you're talking about all the stuff that goes on with production and everything like that. Because when I write, and like I said, I'm not, most of the work that I'm doing is all done. But when I'm sitting in, you know, in production meetings and stuff, and I'm, you know, rehearsals and everything, every once in a while I'll go, you know, there's a play in here somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah.
You know, eventually there will be a play that people will be watching. And it's all of that then. So I totally connect to that.
Oh, I am sure you do. Absolutely.
Talk about your most current season of River City Community Theater Players, whether that's what do you have
coming up. So I saw a few things.
Yes, we River Cities runs their season from September to May. Mm-hmm. And Ghostlight runs June to March. And we kind of fit in the middle. So we have pretty much something going almost every month, which is really nice. We've built up River Cities to where we do at least four shows per year. We try and do five if we can get them in. We're starting our season right now. They're in rehearsals for On Golden Pond.
Ah,
great, great show.
Oh my God.
Very excited about that one. We always do a Christmas show in December.
Fun. And
this year it's called Little Town of Christmas. It's actually a little vignette type show. And we try and combine the adults and the kids with that one. There's almost always, you know, Christmas, you need kids, makes things
happier. Absolutely. Yeah.
The February show is a romantic comedy called Baggage. It's about a couple that accidentally exchange suitcases at the airport and end up tracking each other down and falling in love. I haven't read the whole script, but that's the basis. So it's a like definitely a romantic comedy. Fun. And then our last show for River Cities is You Can't Get There From Here. It sounds familiar to me. I've been busy with camp, so I haven't read. I don't like to read the scripts because I like to go to the shows and be entertained. So, but they all have, we all have great directors for all four of those shows, and looking forward to that season. And then if we have time at the end of the year, or if it looks like the season's going well enough and there's space at our venue, a lot of times we've talked about doing like a variety show or a melodrama or just something light, something easy that we can put together at the end of the year. It's not a necessity for the season, but if we can get it in there and people are willing, we usually try and throw it in for one last hurrah before we shut down for the heat.
Because you have all the time in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, that's the thing. They're like, oh, Diane, will you run the variety show? And I'm like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, May.
I could do that
in May,
in July or September when you actually have 5 minutes to breathe.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and yeah. So, but then of course I'm already in production. So, well, actually, we're auditioning this weekend. But
for On Golden Pond.
No, that's
cast and rehearsing.
Yeah,
right,
that's called, okay, cast and rehearsing. So that's the other thing we cross over a lot too. So. We do in camp, we do a full production in our 2 weeks. So the kids did a great production. The seniors did a show called The Redemption of Gertie Green. It was about kindness and about bullying and misunderstood people. The kids fell in love with the script. I was so excited because we, like I said, we had a 2 week camp. They had all their lines down in 2 days. They loved the script that much that they just absorbed it. We could have performed that first Friday, which was...
Adult actors, are you paying attention? Did you hear that? Exactly. All their lines in 2 days?
2 days, yeah. And it was a full hour and 15-minute show. So, I mean, it wasn't like we just were doing skits. Then the juniors did a really cute little show called Camp Kindness, which also trying to stay socially, you know... aware and talking about being kind to each other and yourselves and not, you know, not talking down to people or having bad inside thoughts in your head. It was very cute. We actually will be auditioning, I said this weekend for, we're doing the Canterville Ghost.
Ah.
Which is, I actually had, I don't normally repeat, but I loved this show so much. We did it when I was back in Ohio, and it is absolutely adorable. It's a great show. We're going to be performing in October, so it's just before the Halloween holiday. So I'm really excited about that. And then we always try and do a musical in the spring. The adult theater doesn't do musicals often, but the kids, I have such a great base of voices, and I have a wonderful music director. She's got a master's in music education, and she comes in and volunteers and takes care of all of the music chorus. She's wonderful. And we haven't officially got the rights for it, but I am fairly certain we're going to be doing Seussical.
Oh,
Yeah, which some people know, some people don't. Theater people know it. Other people are like, oh, I've never heard of that. But it's actually a very cute show. And it's, we worked a lot on expanding outside of ourselves this summer at camp and trying not to be, you know, Diane pretending to be Beth, but actually being Beth on stage. And so this show is perfect for that. And it gives them a chance to really let loose and be bigger than life. So hopefully they'll rise to the occasion on that one. And I'm sure they will. They always do. So that's probably what we're going to be doing in the spring. And then of course, as soon as spring's done, I start working on camp again. So.
You know, I have to tell you, a lot of theater companies that I've interviewed and or just spoke to outside of the show are doing On Golden Pond right now. And
really?
Yeah. And I wonder if it's because of the fact that it's a small cast. And so we're, you know, it might be a little easier to, as we're getting out of COVID, to direct people and maybe social. I love On Golden Pond. I love the movie. Yeah. I've never seen the play, but I love the film. I didn't love it the first time, but then I saw it, I don't know, like 5 years later when I grew up and just, you know, yes. In tears. But there are like five,
six.
I want to say performers
yeah,
in it.
Six total. There's the Norman and Ethel, Chelsea, the daughter, Billy Sr., the boyfriend, Billy Jr., and then there's the mailman. And I can't remember his name. But yeah, so it's just the six. They actually just did a revision of the script. I was actually supposed to direct On Golden Pond in 2019.
Oh, wow.
And we, just before we went into, I had auditioned and had a cast. But just prior to that, we did our first production with Ghostlight, which we did Tinkerbell. And we literally closed and did a strike on that set the day before they shut down all the schools for COVID. Wow. So we literally got in under the wire. So we waited and waited and waited. And finally, we just had to make the decision that we weren't going to be able to do On Golden Pond. So we released the cast. You know, thank you so much, but we're going to have to pull this back in for another time. So, yeah. Of course, I'm too busy. So we have another wonderful director that's stepping in and taking the production and directing it, which is a little sad for me because On Golden Pond was on my bucket list for directing. Uh-huh. But yeah, he'll do a fantastic job. I am thrilled with the cast that he has. So I'm sure it will be wonderful. And like I said, it was a hard sell at first when I brought it up. The adults were focused a lot on comedies. Comedies put people in the seats and they're like, oh, we don't know. On Golden Pond, that's kind of sad. And it's about old people almost dying. And we live in a very old populated area. And they're like, we don't know if the audience will, you know, be able to relate or like relating to it. And I said, don't shortchange your audience. I said,
oh, yeah.
If we don't let our audience expand, then we're defeating ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to give them the opportunity to expand so we as actors can expand, so we can then continue to expand out into the community. And you have no idea. You may have people that aren't coming because they don't want to see a melodrama. You know, we can't make those decisions. So that was a big course change that we made. So yeah, this is our second, third now really big kind of drama that we've done. So, and it's been very well received and people are very excited about it. So I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. I'm doing tickets on this show, so I get to come and see it.
Very, very cool. What great opportunities for the actors who really, you know, want to commit to a part, one of the parts in the play. That reminds me a lot of David and I took his parents to Europe for a trip, and we wanted to take them to see a show. So we said we would like to see Les Miserables. And his mother said, you know, I don't want to see that. That just seems depressing to me. And we're like, well, we're going to take you to see it anyways, you know, because in our minds we're like, it's also beautiful and
incredible.
And, and just, you know, so dynamic and well-directed. And so we made her go see it. And at the, and this is a lady who sees a lot of theater, and she sees a lot of the theater that we do. But boy, by the end of that show, she was in tears and on her feet.
Oh, yeah.
So, but so I can see a lot of people, like, they have their prejudgments of what, you know, they see like a sentence or like they read a paragraph about it. And all of a sudden it's like, I don't know if I like that because of this one thing, but
yeah. Yeah.
So good for you for pushing the audience.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I really would like in the next several years, I don't know if you're familiar with a show called Every Brilliant Thing.
I don't think so. No.
Oh yeah. See, that's on my bucket list too. I want to direct that. It's a one man show, but it is incredible. You cry, you laugh, you get sucked in. There's a lot of audience participation that gets pulled in, and it's wonderful. And you know, that's one of the things they look at and go, okay, it's serious. It's about suicide. And it's one person.
Yeah.
can one person handle this show? And I'm like, you know, if we find the right person, yeah, they can.
Of course.
And it's, you know, so we'll get there down the road, get a couple more people to direct some of the kids things, and I can go back to directing adults as well. And that's definitely on the top of my bucket list now.
So. Man, you know, when I think that I spin a lot of plates, I talk to somebody like you. Hope you're enjoying this interview because I know it's on your time. I hope at least you're having fun.
No, we do, but we do. We read a lot. I'm constantly reading shows and
Sure.
And then when you see something, if you get fortunate enough to catch something somewhere and you're like, oh, and you just get hit, you know, I mean, Our Place is another really great one that I would love to do. And if I could get my kids old enough, we'll do it. I think I could do it if I had a large amount of high schoolers. I can't do it with 7-year-olds. It's way too intense for that. But
yeah.
I want to expand my kids that way too. I don't want them to just always be doing the frolicking musicals and things like that. I want them to be able, I think experiencing a lot of those emotions are important to their own personal development and learning how to handle life and all those things. And I think people need to feel comfortable talking about hard subjects. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, and it sounds like you understand that arc of what they should be introduced to versus what they can ultimately grow into in, you know, going to acting school or theater school or college or whatever. A better person to understand that than you, who has been there from the ground up creating and developing these programs. I just think it's so awesome that you're doing this and you're providing these opportunities. It warms my heart. I think it's totally, totally wonderful. Now you were talking about COVID a little bit earlier. Did you guys do any like Zoom productions? A lot of people did.
A lot of people did. And, you know, we did not. We had talked about it many, many board meetings discussing whether or not we wanted to try and stream and what that was going to look like and how what kind of cost it was going to be. And, you know, we just don't have a sophisticated enough theater to really be able to do that well. I actually did with my kids, we did a sketch show that we were going to put together and show online just to keep them active. And I, as much as I hate to admit it, I didn't have the editing props for it. And I've still got all of those little videos that need to be run together and things. And that's been, you know, 3 years now. So that we ended up not doing it. So when COVID hit, we were dark. Our theater was dark, and it was hard. It was very hard. I was just in a place where I was building momentum for the kids, and I was really worried that I was going to have to start over and rebuild. Fortunately, that did not happen. The ones that I had, almost all of them came back, and then we built from there. On the adult side, on the River City side of things, it was a very big hardship for us financially. You know, we're not a high dollar. We don't have a huge bank account, and you know, we have to perform to continue to perform.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, when you're not performing, but you're still paying rent and you still have storage bills and all the other things that you have to pay for, we were worried for a while. So we were very, very, very happy to get back, but it took a little bit. It was kind of like when your car engine, you know, the battery's not completely dead, but it doesn't want to turn over. And we went through that at the beginning, getting people to come back. You know, once again, we're an older community. Yeah. People were very, very nervous about COVID. We also are in a part of the country where there was a lot of conflict with people. Not everybody got on board with protocols. And, you know, so we tried to avoid all of that strife. But our numbers have kicked up really well. And I think probably this season, after our first performance with the adults, we finally started getting nice numbers. I mean, I think they're actually a little better than what we were seeing prior to COVID. Of course, the kids' numbers are through the roof. I actually had to reach out to our venue and say, okay, what's the maximum I can seat? Because we never had to ask that before. And we aren't close to that quite yet, but we topped out. We actually had almost 200 for a show. And for us, that's like incredible. You know,
that's a great off Broadway house, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, but like I said, kids, you draw, you're going to have people with kids. But, you know, for our regular shows, we were starting out with 20s and 30s in an audience. And by the end of the season, we were having, you know, 80 to 100 per show. So it came back fast, but we were a little worried. And of course, we were also very fortunate. Once we came back, the protocols had all been put away. We didn't have to social distance our audience. We didn't have to wear masks to perform. You know, we didn't have vaccination mandates or anything like that. So, you know, if somebody, and I still have a couple of kids that wear masks to camp, and we're like, hey, if that's your thing, do it. If it makes you feel better and safer, then by all means, you know, and they're welcome to do that. But for the most part, we are back to business as usual. So, which was helpful. So we didn't have to have those, you know, we didn't have to worry about sanitation at the door and, you know, only being able to seat half as many chairs or things like that. So we were fortunate in that respect, but it did hit us economically. We've been very fortunate. We actually received a COVID grant.
Good.
For our theater. And we are using that to, it's very limited what we can use it for. We can't use it for productions, but we are definitely spending every penny well. And we're hoping that that will help, you know, push us to the next level as far as recognition in the community. So it's, like I said, we don't want people going, oh, there's a community theater in town. we don't want them doing that anymore. So, you know, and we're doing a massive marketing campaign to get ourselves out there and for people to be ready for this season.
Outstanding. Now, sociologically, what are some of the misconceptions people have about theater and the arts overall in not just Bullhead City, but like in Arizona, that they have, what do, and by not, what do other people around Arizona think that they know about the arts in Arizona, and how is that a misconception?
You know, I think that the misconceptions run geographically. You know, we're only an hour and a half from Vegas. So we have access to lots of stage type entertainment. you know, we've got, you know, Cirque shows, we've got, you know, concert performers, we've got the Smith Center, which does an entire Broadway series. And there's a lot of people that, you know, patronize those venues. Phoenix has a great arts community. Phoenix is about 3 hours south from us. So they have an incredible arts community. I think locally, I think there's a breakdown with people not understanding the value of it. You know, I don't know, misconceptions. I think there's some misconceptions possibly because of the availability in Vegas. They come to see us and they're like, oh, this is all you guys have. This is, you know, we work out of a community, out of a community center. You know, we're in a gym with a portable stage. So, yeah. You know, it's not, you know, what you would call, we act very professionally. We handle our business very professionally, but our surroundings are not what most people would expect professionally. So there's some misconceptions there that I think part of the misconception locally is how can there possibly be anybody in Bullhead that can provide good entertainment? And then we get them there to see it. And they walk away from these shows. People that come in for the first time almost always walk away going, wow, I had no idea that that was possible here. Yeah. You know, the kids shows, they come in and they're like, wow, you know, I can't believe they sang and danced and did all the things they did. You know, it's, I think that's where the misconceptions lie, is that you can't have quality theater in a little bitty town like this. And it's not true. It's just not true. We really do provide quality entertainment and quality performances. And like I said, I think if we can just get people there to see it and enjoy it, then the word spreads. And it's funny because our numbers work that way. Opening night's always our lowest night. And then people come in the next couple of shows and they'll be like, oh, well, my friend Barbara came and saw it. Or, oh, you know, my nephew John was here and did this. Or, and the word spreads that way. It has nothing to do with our advertising. It's mostly, you know, what other people are saying, you know, or we'll have a church group come in as an activity or something. And then they'll go back and they'll go, oh my gosh, you got to go see the show. I couldn't believe how good it was. I think that's the largest part of the misconceptions. And, you know, I think sometimes people don't realize that it's for them too. I mean, we tell people all the time, come join us, come be on stage with us, come be behind the scenes with us. And there's a misconception that there's room for them. And that's something that we fight constantly fighting, people thinking that oh, I couldn't possibly do that. Oh, there's nothing I can do to help you guys. Not true.
Wow. Well, hopefully they'll listen to this podcast and they'll hear everything hopefully that they can do to help you.
I mean, tell them all the time. I told you before, but like just with the kids, I do it with the adults. You tell me what you're interested in and I will find a job that you will be amazing at in the theater.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Are you good at graphic arts? Can you sew? Are you good building things? I mean, are you good at organizing things? I'm glad that I'm glad that's sort of I'm glad you're focusing on that. Mm-hmm. That I did not expect out of this interview. And it is just so true that, you know, like theater, like you said, theater is for everyone and we could use everyone. Right. At this point. And that's just an incredible, incredible message. Okay. So If you could have three wishes for the companies you lead, both of them together, so in total, three.
So excited for the question.
I know you had time to think about it. Would they be?
Obviously, number one, I want a full-blown, all-decked-out theater that's just for us. I mean, and not just a stage. I want rigging. I want light booths. I want sound equipment. I want rehearsal spots. I want costume storage. That's just one wish. People always say, oh, if you won the Mega Millions, what would you do? First thing I do is build a theater in this town. I think the community could support it in other ways, but we won't get into all of that. So yes, that's number one, a home of our own, something that we're not sharing with other people, that we don't have to worry about whether basketball needs to be in there that night. Right. My second wish was, and we've talked a little bit about this too, I would love to have access to industry professionals in which they can come and help share some of their knowledge, whether it be inspirational, whether it be practical. I just feel like, you know, we have some people that are really gifted in certain areas, but, you know, the industry changes so fast. And we are working with antiquated equipment sometimes, and you know, it grows beyond us. And I just wish we had access to some of those people that could come in and say, okay, look, you know, you could do this and this would make things so much better. Or, you know, director's workshops, or, you know, acting workshops, any of those professionals that we could drag into Bullhead City and teach us things. And the other thing, which we've also kind of talked about, I really wish we could have more non-performing volunteers. You know, there's so much, as a director, especially, you know, children's theater or adult theater, the directors carry so much weight with our community theater. And, you know, I wear so many hats, and, you know, I'm not only directing, I'm perusing. You know, I'm having to select scripts. I'm running auditions. I'm directing. I'm building sets. I'm designing sets. I'm building sets. I quite often spend what free time I have at home until the wee hours of the morning making costumes, because sadly I know how to sew. Or gladly I know how to sew. Which I look at that. Right. You know, so I spend a lot of time putting 150% of me into these shows, and it's exhausting. It's rewarding. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't. Right. But if we could just find more people to step up that don't necessarily want to be on stage, but could take some of those burdens off of, and all the directors in our group have to deal with that. I had a director that we did our ending season show for last season, and it was a melodrama, and she came to me and she goes, Diane, please, she says, her health has not been great. Please, can you design my set for me? I said, yeah, I'll design it. And then I didn't realize in her mind that designing meant building it. So I came off of a show that we had just finished, and I had like 2.5 weeks to build this set. And I myself overdue, you know, what I could have gotten by with, I wasn't happy with. So spent a lot of hours and things. And I, you know, you get help that comes in, but if you just had somebody that could come in and say, okay, here's what I'm doing. This is what you want. Does this look good? Yes, director, good. And they just do it. And instead of us having to be involved in every single step. So definitely non-performing volunteers is a huge thing on my wish list.
That's all doable.
It is. It just takes time.
It takes time, and it takes the community coming together, yeah. You know, and helping and in being part of. And I am positive that they're going to do that for you. I know I'm not there, but based upon that arc that you've built and everything, yeah. That do you know why you get things done? Because you think about them
and they happen. I have a friend who told me, she's like, I was like, I really want this to happen. And she said to me, you know what? It will happen because you're thinking about it right now. And boy, was she ever right. And it's important to pull back. And for a person like you, I think, I'm just giving you a little, you know, armchair psychiatry here.
Hey, I'll take it.
It's important for you to pull back and realize the progress you've made from no programs at all into all this wonderful stuff that's happening for the community, for the people in the community, for the kids in the community. It's just, it's, I hope that you, if anything, you can, I don't know, step away from this interview and think, oh, okay, well, yeah, I think Sean's right about that. Not because I love being right, because I do, but because I think I'm right about this.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Of course, yeah.
I have a great support system at home that tells me that all the time. So
good.
Yeah.
Props to the at-home support system. That's right. That's very, very important. Very important.
Well, and without home support, I can't give all the time I give either. So
this is true. I've got one of those too. Very, very definitely. I'm like, you know what? I couldn't do a lot of the stuff that I do without him.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what home support is like. You help each other out in certain situations. And so for all of those people who are supporting all the artists, thank you. Thank you very much. That's very important for me as well.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a three question speed round for you before we go.
Okay. Now the pressure's on. It's like a game show.
Absolutely. Favorite play?
Right now,
sure.
Right now, Every Brilliant Thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I Hamilton obviously is up there at the top. I mean, there's so many. I can't pick. If you pick one,
that's
from
a play,
genre.
Right? Yeah, that's a play, right? Every Brilliant
True.
Thing.
Yes, Every okay. Brilliant All Thing right. is a play. Yeah.
Okay. Favorite musical.
Right now, Hamilton. Wicked's a close second.
Okay. I'm not a big Hamilton fan. I like it, and I think I've seen it a lot of times because I'm wondering what I'm missing. But I went in going, I'm not getting it. And I've seen it a lot. I've seen it a lot because I work a lot in Chicago. I have a collaborator in Chicago, and I could go see it a lot when it was there, and it didn't cost, you know, me, mm-hmm. you know, having to take out a mortgage of okay. something that I owe, right. you know, or collab. Saw well, my I first have- child.
Let me fill you in on why. I mean, I love the show. I think the story is great. I am absolutely and utterly in awe of the dance that happens on that stage. And I don't mean the dancers. I'm talking about the set, the revolving set, the way things float on and off almost without notice. It is choreographed. Every prop, every movement, every glance is choreographed masterfully. Oh, and as a director, that is what excites me. And that is what brings me to tears every time I watch it. I mean, it just blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. The direction of that show is just beyond anything I could ever or one day hope to aspire to.
You know, there is a lot to be taken for granted in watching that show. I understand, trust me, I understand the genius and the masterful nature of it. Mm-hmm. And that it's a masterpiece. I had a hard time connecting to it.
And that's fair.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that they're lucky that he wrote such three strong, well, four, if you think about it, women because they give the, yeah. They give the piece the narrative heart that it needs.
Yes, I agree.
So I do like their songs. But anyways, again, I saw it a lot when I could afford to, just so I could think, what am I not getting? I don't know. But I loved, and I've had other people say this to me, I've loved In the Heights. I thought In the Heights was great.
That's up there. Yeah, fantastic.
Oh my gosh. So, so good. Okay. Yes. Third question, what is your dream role?
My dream role? Oh, I'm not an actress, or not anymore. My dream role.
What would pull you out of
semi-retirement. What would pull me out of retirement.
Exactly, from acting.
You're still thinking. So many things. My head's spinning right now. Obviously, I mean, it would be wonderful to play Elphaba. That would be fantastic. I'm trying to think not to just be like massively current. I was trying to think back to something that I've loved all these years. Like I said, I'm not a big Rodgers and Hammerstein fan, but I do think it would be fun to play Maria from Sound of Music. As much as I really don't like the show, I think her role is very broad. She gets to be a lot of different things while being Maria all the way through. So, you know, I like her strength of character and her resilience. And so, yeah, her character itself, I think, would be one that I would want to do.
You know, a lot of people have said Elphaba, a lot, which is, by the way, my husband's dream role.
Really?
He would love to play Elphaba as well.
Good for him.
And I don't think anybody that I know of has ever said Maria, but yeah, that role has so many shades to it.
It does. And I think that's what makes it interesting to me. Like I said, the show itself, I probably would never direct it, but I might, that might be something that would pull me onto the stage. And the music's great. You know, it's
classic. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for one of the older musicals, it really holds up well. Mm-hmm. You know, I like it. I even like the Carrie Underwood television live thing that they did. I thought that she did a pretty good job doing that. She had a lot of support, speaking of like Audra and, Laura Benanti, and a lot of help with that. But yeah, it was, it's... You sort of, you know, speaking of taking for granted, you sort of take for granted what Julie Andrews does with the part and how masterful she is at putting forth her talents and her, you know, everything she's learned, if you will, whether it's from school or from experience or what have you. And it's funny because there's this, there are these on YouTube, they have these things. I think they're put out by Vogue magazine where they talk about, they bring actors on for the parts that they've done. And they talk about the various roles that they've gone through. I don't know if you've seen this, cause I know you have all the time in the world. And, and she talked about that part and how it was challenging for her. And what was challenging was not making it too sweet. You know, you can't, okay, I guess you really just can't edge one way or the other with that role. It all has to be combined.
Right.
And it's masterfully
combined.
Right. And it's way more difficult.
Or you're not believable.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Not an easy role by any means whatsoever, but you know, and Elphaba's great. Although for me, I would rather play Galindo. Well, that's just
well, and you know, I almost said Galindo, but I thought, you know, there's just a couple of really great highs that Elphaba gets to sing.
Of course. Yeah, who gets to fly?
That's right. So
well,
yeah,
Galindo gets to fly as well. So
yes, but a little differently. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think acting wise, I think Galindo has a lot more acting gymnastics going on with what she's doing. She's kind of everywhere. I mean, you don't realize it, but in the beginning of the play, she's playing the end of the play. And so there's a lot of that has to go on.
Yeah.
Everybody's excited. No, it's, you know, my apartment is like literally like right down the street from the Gershwin Theater. I can go see Wicked whenever I want. And sometimes I do.
Well, when you get back, you need to go because we have a full head person. He graduated from Javi High School and he just started as Fiero.
What's his name?
James D. Gish.
Oh my gosh. I've heard of him.
Yeah. He is from Bullhead City. And when I first got here, I worked with the drama teacher at the high school and helped. I directed a show for her in the fall. I did Blithe Spirit for her. And then I helped with Les Mis and stuff. And she actually was his teacher through high school. I didn't meet him personally. He was already graduated before I started helping. But yeah, he just started as Fiero.
That's awesome. You know, I thought we were just like sort of, you know, just shooting the bull about our fantasies here and our fantasy roles. And I'm so glad that you tied it to the show. I love when that happens. But
yeah,
I'll have to go see it. I know that one of the props I want to give to Wicked is that they, for the first time ever, have their first full-time actor of color playing Glinda. And she is marvelous. She is
so good. I just recently saw that. I was so excited about that. We try real hard to not have any of those boundaries with the kids. I keep letting them know it doesn't matter. None of that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just remember I saw her in a performance. Actually, she was understudying. And then I saw her before the COVID shutdown in a role that I was like, you know, I want to see this because I hear she's great.
Mm-hmm.
She is marvelous. So anyways, you know, go see James and then go see, I believe her name is, I'm not sure of her last name. Brittany is her first name, but I think her Twitter handle is like Brittany the Good. And she's just amazing.
Wonderful.
Speaking of amazing, Diane, thank you for being on the show. You've been so awesome. I mean, it's what a great conversation. I mean, and thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thank you for allowing me to talk about it and share my passion a little bit. And, you know, some people around here get tired of hearing me ooze when it comes to what I'm doing. And it is nice. And it's a little validating. So thank you for that. And, you know, it just makes me happy that I'm continuing to get to do these things and help grow these kids and these programs. And yeah, any little bit of opportunity that I get to share that with anybody, I'm always a happy person when I'm done.
Wow. Well, you are now a part of the Your Program Is Your Ticket family. And if you come back whenever you want. Before we go, please give our audience your social media information so they can keep up with River City's Community Theater and Ghostlight Children's Theater.
Absolutely, I'd be thrilled to. So you can find River City's Community Theater Players as well as Ghostlight Children's Theater on Facebook. Ghostlight Children's Theater is also on Instagram. River City's Community Theater Players does have an active website. It currently has been hacked. We're in the process of getting that cleaned up. But once we have that done, our website address for that is rcctp.org. Or you can go to Ghostlight and look at what we're doing there. And this is a long one, so be ready. It's Ghostlight, rcctp. Dot Wix site wixsite.com/ghostlightchildrens. That's what happens when you're poor and you have to use a free web address. So we've got that. You can also reach Ghostlight at ghostlightrcctp@yahoo.com if you have any questions or want to tell us that you think we're doing a great job, or you want to get the website again because it's really long, or you can reach me at president@rcctp.org if you have any direct questions for me. So I'm pretty available in lots of different ways. I'm always quick to respond. So please feel free. Come find us.
Wow. That's plenty of opportunities to get in touch there. And you know what? I'm so upset that somebody went in and hacked your website.
Yeah.
That is just, you know what, this is under the category of this is why we can't have nice things, right, Diane?
Exactly. But they are selling some really nice scarves if you want to order from China. So, but we're working very, very hard to get that fixed. We keep getting down the road and they keep hacking back in. So yeah, I don't know why, but yeah, we're dealing with that. But it's a good experience for us, right?
Oh, been there, done that. I've got a musical that I created a new website for, and for some reason they just will not take the old website down. So, technology. Yeah.
Great when it works.
But both of the theater companies are on Facebook, right?
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, cool. That's the quickest way to reach us.
Fabulous. Okay, great. This has just been marvelous. And just so you know, I hear a lot of what you're telling me from a lot of different people. You have brothers and sisters out there in the theater world who are going through exactly what you're going through and who have the same struggles and stuff. And so you are, maybe you don't know it, but you're all this one big group that is really changing theater and making it for everyone. And I appreciate that.
Well, and we appreciate you and this platform very much. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You've been amazing. And I wish you many broken legs for all the wonderful work that you do in the future. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Well, folks, the 11 o'clock number has been sung and the bows have been taken, so it's time to lower the curtain. Once again, a big thanks to my guest, Diane McKenzie, board president of the River City's Community Theater Players and company director of Ghostlight Children's Theater. You can find more episodes of Your Program Is Your Ticket on the Broadway Podcast Network, who has honored me with a place on their incredible theater podcast platform. Broadway Podcast Network is all about creating an engaging, immersive, user-friendly experience where theater stories of all kinds can be easily found, shared, and enjoyed. Please visit them on my page at bpn.fm/ypiyt. Again, that's bpn.fm/ypiyt. Your Program Is Your Ticket is also on Facebook at facebook.com, Your Program Is Your Ticket. I'm on Twitter at Program Ticket, Instagram and YouTube at Your Program Is Your Ticket, iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podbean, Pocket Casts, Deezer, TuneIn, Listen Notes, and the UK-based theater platform Thespi. I appreciate all good ratings, reviews, and subscriptions. Another quick note of thanks to the Communicator Awards for honoring Your Program Is Your Ticket with 4 awards, an Award of Excellence for individual episodes in the Arts and Culture category, and 3 Awards of Distinction, 2 for my Act 2 Places series, 1 in the Entertainment category, and 1 in the Educational category, and 1 for me in the Features Host category. I'm extremely grateful for the honor and owe it all to my wonderful guests, listeners, and my Broadway Podcast Network family. Folks, take a little time to visit theater websites and see what they have to offer. Give them all great ratings and reviews, and most importantly, donate, donate, donate. As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And remember, theater is for everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.